We would have an exit interview. And the reason why we decided this was because resignations historically at the SABC, is there someone who has the mic on? Yeah, so what we realized is that resignations on the SABC board often coincide with strife. So it's important for us to know exactly why that member resigned. So Minister, if you can give us some insight on that. And then the regulations published on the FPB, which requires online distributors to register with the FPB. Now, this is very, very problematic. Because when the bill was before Parliament the last term, we specifically removed that requirement because we felt that it would result in a form of censorship, but now it's brought back by regulations, which is very problematic because the legislature specifically said we don't want that. I am trying to understand, I know it's open for public comment and it's quite likely will change given the public outcry because of this. I'm wanting to give you the benefit of the doubt. Now, is it the way that that section was specifically drafted that's problematic? Do you intend to stick to that or will you change it? Will you change that requirement? Because the way that it's drafted would mean that if a member of the public wants to publish something on YouTube, because people have YouTube channels and they record videos and then they load them onto the internet, or even just social media, you know, if you want to post a video, if you want to post a tweet or a Facebook post, it would require you to go through the FPB, which is crazy. So I'm just trying to understand if this is something you are intent on sticking on or you are going to take on board opinions on that and public comment and remove that. I just want to get a sense of where you lie. Thanks, Chair.
Mackenzie.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, and good morning, Minister. And colleagues or protocol observed. Minister, I'm not sure if it's just your choice of language or as Honourable Van Damme alluded to or if there's, you know, if you're very precise in the use of your language. But it appears that the policy directives you've been issuing of late and the actions you've been taking of late have contained some very inflammatory language. And if I just look at the 2 week recess I've been on, it hasn't been a recess because I've spent all my time answering emails and questions and petitions from people who are terribly concerned that Vodacom or MTN or Telkom are going to come and pitch up in their rose garden and stick up an aerial. And that's because of the policy directive you issued to ICASA. ICASA that has no councillors as far as I'm aware. Minister, I think you really need to clarify this in terms of private property rights. Do you, as the Minister, in terms of your policy directive, support the constitutionally enshrined property rights of people who own their own homes and their own gardens and who are terribly afraid that every home, every 500 metres is going to have a mast? Now, I've defended that position myself, saying, you know, I've welcomed your policy directive, I've welcomed the rapid deployment guidelines, because I think we all agree that these things are essential. And the way they were explained to us, they made a lot of sense. In other words, if you're on a 30-store building and you occupy the 8th floor and you refuse to give access to somebody who runs to run cabling through your ducts, can you please put off your mic, whoever that colleague is, thank you. And you want to run cabling through your ducts, then, you know, clearly you can't be stopped from doing that. Now, I understood that regulations were sort of designed around that sort of private property aspect and not Mrs. Jones and her roses. So, you know, that created all kinds of havoc in the market. So if you can just give me some clarity on that and some clarity on the way you see ICASA implementing that particular aspect of the rapid deployment guidelines. We won't talk about the health G issues around 5G. That's a subject for another day. Then in terms of the ICASA councillors, do we have clarity on that, Minister? Do you accept that Parliament actually has the oversight over your department and your particular role, and that your powers are in fact limited when it comes to that. I'd just like to know where we are there. And then as far as the South African Post Office goes, Mr. I've got 15 more gray hairs from that as well. That's why I have to slick it back with the hair dye. It's like you're playing musical chairs with people's lives. I mean, I know Mr. Andrew Nongoga personally. He's been of great assistance to me in the last term and in this term. And he's great at the post office. He's a really nice guy. And that he would seem to be sort of the victim being pushed around in a boardroom battle that you're having with the board that you appointed. And I think what's really terrifying about the post office is that when Mr. Mark Barnes left, he left with an organization that wasn't only capitalized, it had 835 million rand in the bank. It was very focused on what it was going to do in terms of social grant distribution, in terms of being an e-commerce hub for the region, very focused, him and the board. And then the whole thing went to hell in a handbasket. We now have absolute chaos at the post office. We have demoralized staff again. The track and trace system, for example, the website is down. Nobody can tell when this website is coming up again. People are getting street deliveries in one area, but they haven't had post box deliveries for the last 6 months. And the post office, I'm sure, is not going to give a discount on post boxes to people who are not getting their post in the box because of COVID or for whatever reason. And we shouldn't blame COVID for anything. We've all managed to work our way around this. So, Minister, what I would like to know in terms of the SAPA, you say you've taken certain interventions. What are these interventions other than trying to remove the chairperson of the board illegally? And you really shouldn't do this. These are the people that you put in place to drive your vision and your government's vision. And they're doing it. And if they tell you that the post office cannot distribute social grants, because that COVID grant, they couldn't, Minister. They didn't have the cash on hand. They didn't have the security to maintain social distancing. They didn't have adequate sanitation for the hundreds and hundreds of desperate and vulnerable people that turned up for these grants. So the board was quite correct when they said to you that the post office is not ready to distribute these grants. And instead of giving them time or making some sort of alternative arrangement, you went ahead and pushed ahead with your vision and imposed your will on the post office board to do what you required to do. Now, why would you do that, Minister? Why would you overreach your powers like that? And why would you interfere in the operational decisions of the South African Post Office? I don't understand it, how the entity can go from being focused very clearly on delivery to being almost completely derailed. And it just looks to me like ego, and that's my comment. But I would appreciate your answers. And I thank you for your courage in making yourself available for this meeting. I'm sure you could have excused yourself quite easily. Thank you, Minister, and thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Mackenzie. Honourable Kubeka.
Thank you, Chair. Let me greet the Minister, all the members of the portfolio, and the officials who are present today. And also let me say thank you for the clarity that the minister is trying to give us, because now I was having a little bit concern on the side of the post office. But as the minister, she's trying to explain, to say she is busy at the moment dealing with those issues that are there, and she will come back to us immediately after she has tried to intervene, just to come and give us a feedback. I hope that it won't be so long, Minister, because now you have tried at least to find some solutions, in order that you must engage between yourself and also the board, in order that at the end of the day you must have those solutions that will be great of importance. Because post office, as you can understand, also for our side of our community, especially on the rural areas, those were the people who are having a very big interest, and they are relying on the post office. So thanks for that, because now you are saying you are dealing with those matters. We will keep on waiting for the response, in order that we must hear how fast can you try to resolve those issues. Secondly, what I want to understand on the side of the SABC minister, I've heard that you are saying it seems as if on the issue, as we are trying to deal with these issues, trying to play our oversight role on the side of the SABC, it seems as if on your side there is some challenge on this thing of trying to retrench. So can I just understand you clearly to say, are you saying this matter, you, as a department or as a shareholder, there is no any debate maybe or engagement with the entity? You find this matter as us, as a portfolio committee, we are trying to engage in order that we must all of us be on the same par with these matters of SABC, because I can see on their side it's good to them to play on the gallery in the media whilst we are trying just to engage one another. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kubeka. Honorable Fako.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself and to honorable members, minister, deputy ministers, and the guests that are present. Chairperson, I think let us welcome the input by the minister. Of course, we understand that we are in a COVID period. They could not meet all the targets as it was required. Of course, there are areas that need improvement. Maybe we could have reached 50%, but we're sitting less than 50%. But we appreciate the effort. But also, we want to say to the department, more is expected to them in the second term. As a committee, we have targets that we have set for ourselves to say that this must happen and that must happen, but we understand that because during this period, some of these targets could not be achieved. But I think at least we could have reached 50%. Chairperson, I'm happy that the minister is raising the issue of the post office. Of course, it's in the media. I think as a committee, we must afford the minister to come back again, to come and explain to us really what is happening on the matter of the 350. Does the post office have enough capacity to deal with the matter? Because one of the things that I appreciate for the 350 to be paid with the post office, because it covers rural areas where there are no banks. So for people that are in rural areas, of course, the post office is the most effective way to get the 350. But of course, there are areas of improvement. So when the minister comes back, I think we need to be notified and also maybe tell us of really what is happening within the SAPO board so that we can be clarified. So I think that is important as we move forward. But also I think as a committee, we would also need a full briefing from the department when it comes to the SABC, because SAPO and the SABC are currently in the media. So I think as we are moving forward, we must request that the department to come back and give us a full account of both the SABC and SAPO. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, honorable members. May we afford the minister at this point to respond to some of the questions and comments made. Honorable Minister.
Thank you so much, Chairperson, and thank you to the members for their questions. Let me first say I will not be able to respond to details of the media reports. Hence, I requested that we come and give an account of the engagements that we have with the post office. Unfortunately, I'm not the source for what is in the media, so I won't be able to go blow by blow on what is there. I want to apologize for that upfront. On the second issue, Chairperson, on the questions that have been raised, Honorable Van Damme raises concerns over the SPB bill that we passed and the regulations, therefore, that we issued. And she raises her discomfort on what she perceives to be an intention to usurp constitutional rights of people in terms of the participation. She refers to it as censorship. I would request, Chairperson, with your permission, to say I would appreciate if Honorable Van Damme can be specific which regulation does that or gives that perception, so that when we respond, we know exactly what is that we're talking to. On the same matter, Chairperson, we have extended a period for engagement, and I would like to invite all those that are listening and the participants to make their voice heard there, because regulations are drafted, they are gazetted so that people can make inputs and specific times are put, and it is out of those inputs that then the final program product is then issued. Right now it's draft and it's extended for inputs. I would call for everyone who has concerns around it to be specific on what is there and then make the inputs in the process that is defined within the law. On the issues of...
Chairperson, on the point of order, sorry.
Point of order, Honourable Fandam.
Sorry, just so that the Minister can answer properly. She says she doesn't know which regulation I'm speaking about, and then there's going to be an extension. So I just want to understand which, if she's speaking of different regulations, she says she doesn't know which regulation I'm talking about. Thanks.
Okay, Honourable Minister, I can continue and you can clarify that point.
That was for clarity, not out of order. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. As I said, if the Honourable Member can be specific on the regulation that she says, it therefore, as I said, a perception to infringe on constitutional rights. I didn't say I don't know the regulations. I said we have published the regulations. Hence, the Honourable Member has the question she's asking to in relation to what transpired in Parliament in relation to the bill that was approved. I then said if she can be specific on that particular regulation. I further called upon all those that are interested to make inputs on the gazetted draft regulations on the same matter. It's not one, it's the regulations, that they can then make their inputs via the prescribed protocols. As it is draft, hence we even went to an extent of extending the period that was given prior to say we want maximum participation. And having received that after the closing date, it is then that all inputs will be considered for final gazetting of the regulations. That was what I was saying earlier on. Apologies if that did not come out clearly. On the second one, Chairperson, coming back to the questions by Honourable Mackenzie on the SAPO, so many allegations that are being made. I assume it's because of the media inquiries, and I had requested if the particular committee can afford a certain person to come and make a presentation in terms of what is happening and the engagements that we have had with both the post office and the post bank as the matters that in the public arena are talking to two entities. And once we have finalized that, Chairperson, I will request that we come and make a presentation. Honourable Mackenzie goes on to talk about overreach, to talk about interference, imposing. If the Honourable Member feels strongly that there are such actions by the Minister, there are platforms to make that Minister account so that she can know where her powers are. So I will not be, as I said, I will not be able to respond to what the media says, but we will bring, we'll provide the Portfolio Committee with reports after we finalise the matter, as we still are attending to it. Unfortunately, we have not control on media issues, and we're not going to be jumping up and down. So there's things in the middle. We've got to follow the steps and the processes as defined within the law that we participate in. The other question, again, is on the issue of the post office stability and the fact that Mr. McBarnes all is well and all that. I think we had given account when Mr. McBarnes left and why we had presented to the Portfolio Committee, so I won't be able to go and respond to those. Stability of the post office is something that is of a priority, great priority to us. Not because of any other thing, but to make sure that they are able to deliver on the public service mandate that they are supposed to do. And as the shareholder, we have a responsibility to ensure that its strategic importance finds resonance with the social economic impact of what the post office is expected to do, which is why we've had the engagement that I spoke about, and the detailed report will be presented to the Portfolio Committee in due course. Another question that was raised was on the policy direction on rapid deployment. I see the Honourable Member questions, Honourable Mackenzie questions the language used and whatever. You will bear with me, Honourable Mackenzie. I wasn't born speaking English. If the language that is there is offensive, it is the language that is advised by those that write in government. So I will also apologize on their behalf. But Honourable Chairperson.
Chairperson, I'm sorry to interrupt the Minister. Just on a point of order. Thank you, Chair. The Ministry is misleading the House. I didn't say the language was offensive. I said your choice of language was very wide open to interpretation. It was very loose language, which was why people are obsessed with the idea that cell phone companies are coming to put masks in their gardens because of your choice of language on the policy directive. I didn't say it was offensive. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and apologies for that misrepresentation, Honourable Mackenzie. I didn't get the gist of this that you're saying choice. I really apologize and withdraw that. And as I go back to that again, in terms of the question that you raised and the concern that you are of the view, or people are of the view, that we really want to invade their privacies, we had again gathered it for comment. It is a draft that people must make inputs on and seek clarities on so that the matters can be attended to. As we are all aware, matters that go there, they are checked by legal people, and it is the language that it is used according to them, having checked with state law advisors, that was used there. But again, if there are concerns, inputs must be submitted so that we can respond accordingly on those. And of course, Honourable Members, we do not have any interest of invading people's rights. It is our responsibility at all times to make sure that we enhance promotion of people's rights, including privacy, whilst we do not hinder the progress that needs to be made in terms of rapid deployment processes that need to be undertaken. And as we go and read what the policy directions say, and what is entailed in the detail, we also consider what the rapid deployment talks about and what it seeks to address, and very clearly tabulated amongst other things is the consultation. Hence, the bill is not only, the regulations are not only done by the department, but with COPTA and others that address the local sphere concerns. We will await inputs by all honorable members and participants, and then make changes where we may have done things without thinking about other things that people are concerned about, and will address all those concerns. But I want to give assurance to all that we will never undermine property rights owners, that this is not the first time we undergo a process of deploying infrastructure. I know, as a villager that I am, when Telkom would come, they would, but nobody can just come. And I mean, like, we need to open our gates for them to come and install. So to think that they will just come, break everything and come, that can't happen. South Africa is a constitutional country. And all those that I'm told to do so, they understand the rights of the people. But as I said, Honourable Chairperson, would welcome all the inputs around the consent to be submitted in the relevant platform so that we can all consolidate those and give clear accounts and check change where we need to change. Honourable Mackenzie, you then again, sorry, Honourable Kubega, you then mentioned, I guess it was the clarity that you thought, in terms of you want to be clear if on the SABC, the department has a challenge of engaging the entity. I want to assure Portfolio Committee, as the Deputy Minister has been reporting, we are engaging with SABC through the Deputy Minister. Different engagements she has held. She has held meetings with unions. I remember she reported on that, that she's going to meet with unions. She has met with the board, and therefore she's finalizing her recommendations, Honourable Member, that will come on board. And we had even issued a statement ourselves clarifying on what was agreed upon in terms of the turnaround strategy that was said that we had approved. So we had given that account, and therefore all we are saying is these steps that need to be adhered to so that there's certainty in terms of moving forward, clear plans and everything. So we are engaging on the matter on Honorable Quebec. I think those are the questions. I don't know if I've missed any. I apologize if I did. With your permission, Chairperson, if there's any that I missed, I would request the agency or whoever that is in the platform to come and talk to it. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I'm sure the points raised by Honorable Faku would come in the detailed report that you referred to, Madam Minister, in relation to the 350, especially as the rural areas depend on the post office for delivery of such services.
My apologies, if I can just talk on that. As I said, we met with the post office, we met with the post bank. We will be meeting with SASA now to attend to the urgent crisis or challenges that we are faced with in relation to the project. So until we conclude those, then we'll be able to give a clear account, because it requires three stakeholders to come together. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Just to get to one point, though, that has been raised, that the committee before, when we dealt with one item, made it clear that we would discuss the matter because we have a referral to the committee. At this point in time, we do not have a formal referral from the Speaker, including ATC in relation to the resignation and how we must react as a committee. Honourable Members, once that matter is referred formally to us as the committee, we'll be able, Honourable Van Damme, to follow up on the point that you've raised about exit interviews for people that resign from boards, so that we understand what the matters are. So I'm just saying that that matter, the Minister may have not spoken to it, but surely she would have done the formalities of informing the Speaker's office, and the Speaker's office would be seized with that, and as I said, would get a formal referral to avoid what we had in a portfolio committee at one point, where we had to really discuss an item that does not exist, and were warned by members that if we continue in that line, it will cause problems for the committee. So would still respect that. But I think what the Minister is raising, Honourable Members, is that the other matters may still have to come before the committee, and we are able to engage in detail once that has happened. That will also talk to SAPO, like she has indicated, that would need a proper discussion based on reports that would be presented before us. And I think we should also appreciate that there are extensions in terms of comments that people need to make formally in the process of regulations. And I do know that from the committee side, we are also receiving the same, Honorable McKenzie, in relation to the 5G deployment policy that the Minister would have issued, that there are those members of the public who do not comment in that process, but write to the committee. I've just been informed of that, asking for extension, which are matters we have reported to the Ministry side, given that the 21st of August seems to be quite close, and they would want to make inputs. But that's for the consideration of the Minister in that regard. So if honorable members agree that we'll still have an opportunity to have a discussion that would allow the department to present and still have an engagement in that regard. And if there are matters that still need to come back, we'll see if we can't engage those in that process of engagement. I see you, Honorable McKenzie, your hand is up. I see Honorable Van Damsen is up, but the minister wants to just clarify certain matters before you speak. Maybe her clarity would also help you on what you think is not responded to. Honorable Minister.
Thank you so much, Christian. Just going back on the SABC, Honorable Van Dam asked if I have informed Parliament or not. Yes, we have returned to Parliament. The resignation came during the time I was on leave, but we have informed Parliament on it, and we have said the department must follow the processes that needs to be followed. On the other issue, Chairperson, that you spoke to lastly, in terms of, because I also want to correct this, that the rapid deployment policy that we issued, people are saying is 5G. Hence, I urge that people must read it. We have never, or we have not yet issued any 5G policy in this country. Not at all. What is in the public is the rapid deployment policy and regulations, which talks to fast-tracking of deploying infrastructure, whether it's infrastructure for 4G or 3G and 5G when we license 5G. So it's not a 5G policy. I want to clarify that so that we don't go using the same terminology that is there. Because, again, if even on the issues that Honorable McKenzie say the people are raising in terms of the health versus 5G and all those, we had said the scientists must deal with that. Hence, in the policy direction that we issued last year, we then directed the authority to conduct a study to look into the economy, the social impact, and everything of 5G. So that by the time we go for licensing for 5G, we know comprehensively what is the entire ecosystem that contains. So there is no policy that has been issued on 5G. It's the rapid deployment policy that seeks to say, Chairperson, as we know, that there are challenges when we license people or when we give permission to go and deploy infrastructure. You find out that people must follow 10 odd steps when they go to local government. In order to say, as we have also seen now currently with COVID, as we need to deploy infrastructure, and then if people are going to get this approval at national, go to province, go to local municipalities, and it's different processes that apply. It's what we're talking to say. Let there be a clear framework stipulated and the things that can be done in order to enable rollout that may be smooth and therefore do not delay the access to the infrastructure. Most municipalities have complained about the fact that they busy digging for water, we come and dig for fiber, we come and do this and that. This seeks to address those, to say from the initial phases, when we plan, as I said, it is what is not only looking at what the department must do or the industry, but it cuts across the different spheres to say, let there be an agreement to look into this so that if needs be, these things are integrated to IGF and everything, then we can work as one government. But on the infrastructure side, as I said, in terms of deployment. Thank you, Chairperson. I don't know if there's anything else.
Honorable McKenzie, Honorable Fanda, clarified.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Minister, for the explanation. For somebody who's not a native English speaker, your eloquence is very good, as is your command of English and your choice of words, and you've just demonstrated that by painting the difference between putting a tower in your garden or the rollout of rapid deployment, which was why I prefaced my comments by saying we support rapid deployment as you outlined. We just thought your choice of language was unfortunate. So I'm glad that clarity has been provided, and I trust it will be reported on. Minister, you didn't answer my question regarding the ICASA councillors and whether that has been finalised. and whether you've reversed your rather strong position on that. So I'd appreciate an answer on that. But thank you for your candidness. I appreciate that.
Honourable Fundam.
Thanks, Chair. I asked for the reasons for the resignation, if the Minister is aware of the reasons. Now, when we deal with it, it will not deal with the reasons. So I want to know whether the Minister has the reasons. And I just want to say something, Chair, which will guide the way that the engagement with the Minister go ahead, will happen in future. I don't like the way that she answered Honourable Mackenzie and I. Her tone is one of aggression, of someone who wants to fight. Instead of, we were both very polite in asking her questions, but the way she responds and speaks like this, like she is speaking to someone stupid, is not right. What we both asked was the intention of the regulations. And that intention or unintended consequences that sometimes exist of legislation is that it is bad. So what we asked was, with the rapid deployment regulations, is the intention that anyone can erect masks on private property? If it is indeed just a matter of language and that's not the intention, that's what we're asking. So what I am asking regarding the FPB regulations, the FPB Amendment Act has been passed. As part of the Act, the what would essentially be the regulation of the online space regarding to what people post was changed in the amendment when it was before Parliament, because that was not the intention. The intention of the regulation, as it is written, is that it will have the unintended consequence that if I, for example, post something on Twitter, I would have to go through the FPB first. That's the intention. So what I'm asking of the Minister is that a unintended consequence that will be amended once the final regulations are passed. Was that the intention? That's what I'm asking. I understand that it's open for public comment. Great. But what is out there is what we're discussing here. And whether that what is out there is the intention. That's what I'm asking. It's a simple question. And if the Minister can answer it without a tone of belittling and arrogance, we're here to do a job. We ask you very politely. Can you answer the question? Thanks.
Minister, you can indicate if you want to clarify any matter. Otherwise, you would have answered the questions.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I would like to apologize to Honourable Fundam for her feeling that belittling in my responses. I was trying to clarify. And I do promise that I will learn from her on how to really be polite. As I move from that, Chairperson, there is the question as that she asked on the intent. I did say there is no intention to undermine constitutional rights. I said that from the very beginning, Chairperson, in relation to the bill, in relation to the regulations, both of rapid deployment and on the FPB, which is why, Chairperson, again, I took it further to say if there's any regulation problem that gives that impression, the honourable member may highlight it so that we go and look at it. That's why I was specific on that. There is no intent to undermine any constitutional right. As I said, we serve in a country that is a constitutional country, and we're appreciative of that. The other question, Chairperson, again, by Honourable Mackenzie in relation to ICASA, I just want to highlight to Honourable Mackenzie that it is not aware. The department got the letter from Parliament of the 30th of August, and it has to undergo the departmental processes before it gets to be submitted to my office. So the department is undergoing those internal processes, and once it reaches my desk, and then I will do what has to be done, and I will respond to the letter sent to us by the speaker once it reaches. So that's where we are at now. As I said, it was sent on the 13th. On the other question, even on the on the rapid deployment, Jefferson. Again, if we read the draft policy, it does talk to provision of consultations between property owners and the licensees. There is nowhere where the policy says the companies will just unilaterally deploy infrastructure. In the policy itself, this thing is explained. We further provide for development of resolution mechanisms to resolve any issues between property owner and licenses. And that's entailed in the policy that we had issued. So that's why I said, as much as we must account for what the perception in the media by other people, but also there are documents that we can only be able to respond to, but whilst we're trying to clarify the perception. The policy is very clear on what it is that must transpire. Just like I said, there is no way the policy says we are rolling out 5G. There is no way where the policy says we're not going to consult. We cannot do that. These documents, before they get gazetted, they go through all the legal, whether internally, and the state law advisors. So it wouldn't be something that Stella wants to do. It would be something that has been approved, but of course, we do allow space for blind spots, which is why then it gets issued for public comments, and then those are taken into consideration, again, by the established bodies that must follow those things, and then the minister signs what has been approved. It wouldn't be what Stella wants. It is a government process in a legislated environment, in a democratic country that recognizes those. And all of us, we should adhere to them. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Minister, for the responses. And I take it that, Honorable Members, as I said earlier, those matters that will still come before us will have an opportunity to engage them in detail. Out now.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Just one last clarity-seeking question. On the 1st of September, the South African Post Office is coming before this committee. Can we get an undertaking from the minister that the SAPO issues will be dealt with during that 1st of September meeting? I think that would be very useful and very progressive, and also meet the need for urgency when it comes to this. Thank you, Chair. Sorry about that. My apologies.
You can, yes.
Thank you so much. I want to apologize in advance to Honorable Mackenzie. As I said, it's processes that are not entirely dependent on the department alone. As I mentioned, we're going to be meeting with social development. From there, there's Treasury and there's Cabinet. And I depend on the schedule that has been, and the space that has been given by Cabinet. And then once that is finalized, and then I present and bring to the committee. And of course, if the matters are finalized or concluded before the 1st, yes, the report would be there by the 1st. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
No, thank you, Minister. You can direct the department to present, because I'm not sure who's going to lead the presentation. Thank you.
ADG, please.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Minister. Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members. I am here joined, Chairperson, Honourable Members, by my team, the team within the department, which is going to go through the presentation. Mr. Fahad Osman from SPM, and Ms. Joy Masumula, who is the CFO for DCDT. Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, can I just ask a clarity-seeking question, please? I mean, sometimes I feel quite stupid when it comes to this. The Chair?
Yes, Honourable McKenzie, I was struggling to hear you.
Thank you, Chair.
Are you speaking on the presentation?
Yes, I am. Just before it starts, the Minister introduced the Acting Director General. The last I read, Oscar Shilembe was appointed acting director general of the department. Has that changed? Did I miss something in the newspapers or something? You could just let me know. Thank you, Chair.
It's unless I didn't hear you, Minister, well, acting DDG is the one that will be presenting, but you can clarify. Minister, I salute us. It seems we've lost the minister. I think, as I said, unless I didn't hear where it's acting DDG. You want to clarify, Ms. Pajo?
Chair, may I? Thank you. There's a bit of a sound. Chair, can you hear me?
I'm struggling to see where the sound cuts off is.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Chair. Now I can hear. Thank you, Chair. Currently, I am the acting DG as of the beginning of this month. Thank you, Chair.
Clarified, Honorable McKenzie. Can we then proceed with the presentation? As I said, it will be more to highlight members have got the presentation and they've gone through it. Thank you. You can proceed.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'll just run through the presentation. As per the agenda, we're presenting the quarter one of the 2021 financial year for the period 1 April to 30 June. The presentation will basically run through the vision, mission of the and the mandate of the new department, the DCDT. We'll touch on the program performance against the annual performance plan for that period, quarter one, as well as the related financial performance. And what we'll also do is touch on the high-level progress against the audit action plan, the findings of the Auditor General. I think I'll skip through these slides. I think we've touched on them when we even presented the strategic plans, the vision, mission, and mandate of the DCDT. In terms of performance itself, the department for the period 1 April to 30 June committed to achieving 31 annual performance targets. That's your quarterly target, the annual target of the APP. So of these 31 targets, we managed to achieve 14 of them. That's 45% achievement, while we were partially achieved 13 of them. That gives us 42%. That gives us 13% of the four that were partially achieved. And the 13 reflects to the targets which we were not able to achieve. That gives us 42% of targets that were not achieved for the reporting period. In terms of the significant achievements, this just basically lists all of the targets that were achieved. Firstly, the workplace skills plan. We managed to develop a workplace skills plan, have it approved and submitted to PCETA and MICETA. This workplace skills plan is aligned to the new mandate of the department, so it takes into consideration the new skills and the new type of skills that will be required in line with the new mandate of the department. That's already in implementation. In terms of country position papers, although we plan to see that we did develop were for the WTSA as well as the fixed ICT material meetings, draft position papers were developed. The Digital Economy Master Plan, we are on track on that in terms of the fact that we developed the draft as planned. In terms of the ICTMME strategy, we developed the concept document, the market access for local IP and innovation by SMMEs. This is going to feed into the revision of the ICT SMME strategy in itself. In terms of broadband, we managed to appoint and contract service provider that will assist in the feasibility study for the phase two fund. This is in conjunction with the Development Bank of South Africa. So in terms of cybersecurity, we plan to do consultations, and that was undertaken in terms of establishment of the cybersecurity incident response team. And the consultations were undertaken with key stakeholders and the likes of the operators. Still with the significant achievements in terms of the e-gov strategy, they consulted and held engagements with the DPSA as well as CETA. Considering that in the MTSF, the department, DCDT, as well as DPSA are jointly leading the eGov initiative, as well as we also drafted the e-service portal concept document as well as the governance structures for monitoring and reporting on the uploading of the services on the e-services portal. In terms of digital skills strategy, the Cabinet recently approved the Skills Digital and Future Skills Strategy. So what we developed in Q1 was a draft digital and future skills implementation program to take forward the strategy towards facilitating implementation. We also consulted with relevant stakeholders in this regard. In terms of measuring the information society, we developed the framework for the integrated digital economy and society data model. In terms of the 17 targets that we did not achieve of 31, the next two slides basically list these targets. But I think through you, Chair, if I could just run through the tables, because these basically summarize the targets without providing reasons for the deviation. So if I could skip through to the actual table and just run through the red target in terms of which was not achieved and why, that perhaps I could summarize that fashion. In terms of program one, we are a new department with a new mandate, we are actually in the process of developing or revising our organizational structure mandate for implementation in the outer year. In this regard, we should have developed a draft service delivery model by end of quarter one. However, the approach has slightly changed in the fact that we are now looking at taking a consolidated approach with other departments also affecting the NMOC process approach to the matter. And given the capacity constraints also in this regard within the department, we've engaged CPSA to provide technical support in this regard and also in the process of additional capacity through a contract appointment so that we can expedite this target but we still should be on track to have the organizational structure finalized for and approved for implementation out here as actually planned. The next red that we have is around having an integrated DCDG digitization strategy developed. This is towards digitizing our business processes, towards moving towards a paperless organization. So I'll just touch on both those quarterly targets because it deals with the same annual target. What we needed to do was do a business needs analysis to see what are the requirements of the business to form the digitization of processes, after which we should have done a business architecture report. Both of those we fell short in terms that due to the fact that the IT unit itself was pulled into managing the entire working from home strategy of the department. And that was because of the COVID-19 pandemic, the bulk of the department worked from home. So that, due to prioritizing that initiative, we actually fell short on concluding the business needs analysis. But having said that, in this quarter, we've already commenced with several branch workshops to look at business needs, which will inform the business architect. So we getting ourselves back on track in this regard. I'll skip these ones. In terms of the one position paper that was not done was the RSA position for PAPU. We should have also had it developed, approved, and advanced, but this was out of the department's control. It was due to COVID-19. The PAPU plenipot did not actually take place. It was postponed. So although we developed a position, it could not be approved in advance, but we will do so once the conference is reconvened. I'll move through the ones that are achieved. In terms of the ICT policy development and research branch, we should have had the SABC bill. We should have done public consultation in this regard. But unfortunately, I think what was also mentioned in the policy branch as well as the ISAT branch and infrastructure branch, you'll notice down the line, the rider is that a lot of these key officials were also in quarter one drawn into supporting the COVID-19 PMO that was set up to facilitate the implementation of the directions issued by Minister, the COVID-19 related directions issued by Minister together with the sector. So because of that, a lot of the efforts and energy had to go into that, and which had a bit of a knock-on effect on the achievement of certain planned Q1 targets. So in this regard, also the public consultation couldn't take place, and because the bill wasn't submitted to Cabinet for public consultation approval. But what that obviously impacted on conducting public consultation. But in this regard, we're fast-tracking the submission and we'll try and catch up with the public consultation. Similarly, the draft, the data and cloud policy, we should have also submitted to Cabinet for public consultation's approval. We amended the policy and also we developed the draft CS report, but the initial preliminary inputs from key stakeholders was not timely provided. And this again was due to COVID-19 lockdown, which affected accessibility to these stakeholders, as well as the DPME also had to prioritize their own initiatives related to COVID-19 and therefore could not provide us with feedback on the CS timely. But the cluster and cabinet submission is being expedited in Q2. Can I just move on? The other one that's partially achieved is we should have, in terms of the C4I report, we've established the 4IR PMO within the department. The quarterly target for Q1 was to have the fully capacitate this PMO so they can start with the actual development of the implementation report and so forth. But we fell slightly short here that we only managed to fill 6 positions. The remaining 4 positions we could not fill due to a lack of suitable candidates that we could not find. But however, we've now re-advertised it to widen the search, so we should be able to catch up and then have the target annual target fully achieved. The ICT Enterprise and Public Entity Oversight branch, here there's a majority of the targets are not achieved. Reason being, the first one in terms of the oversight, we should have undertaken the Q4 analysis of the Q4 report of the 2020 financial year for all entities. As you see, the actual performance does say that the Q4 analysis of the reports of the entities were developed and submitted. So technically, the quarterly target is achieved. This is almost on the technicality, considering that it's a red basic on the technicality. I think you must consider that the evidence, we need to provide evidence of all achievements that are quality assured internally, by the internal audit, as well as eventually by the AG. So due to also the COVID-19 issues, we had to manually submit evidence as well as on the technicality, the evidence that provides the analysis, that confirms the analysis of the reports as well as the submission wasn't provided in time. So it has been marked as not achieved. But as I mentioned, on a more on a technicality. In terms of the implementation of the performance management system for ICASA councillors, that was not achieved because the actual performance management system of the ICASA councillors weren't approved, as this was also related to the program of the portfolio committee, which was also disrupted to a certain extent. So without the approved PMS system, we could not go into the signing of the performance agreement. But we are now prioritizing this element so that we could still be on track to then conduct the appraisals according to the signed performance agreement. In terms of quarterly analysis of SABC's implementation of the turnaround plan, we fell short here because the monitoring task team was only established in Q1 of the financial year. So therefore, we actually weren't able to complete the first quarter analysis report, but that's being expedited so that we'll complete in Q2 and then catch up in the subsequent quarter. Again, the post-bank bill, we should have, this is one of the bills that's on our legislative program for this financial year. We should have done public consultation or conducted it in Q1, but that did not take place as planned, although we submitted the bill to cluster. This again was related to the fact that cluster meetings did not take place as planned, again due to COVID-19. We delayed the submission of the bill to cabinet for public consultation approval, but this is something that we're expediting so that we in cabinet approval for public consultation in this quarter. In terms of the two company bills, if I could just handle them together because they follow a parallel process. In terms of both these bills, we should have completed the business cases for approval. Sorry, Chair, should I continue? There's a bit of a feedback. So both these bills, we should have completed the business cases, but also due to delays in terms of capacity constraints, the business cases were not finalized. They were drafted, but not we still have to then finalize them comply with guidelines. But in this regard, we actually we initially tried to source capacity of GTAC to help us with the business cases, but also again due to the COVID-19, the entire procurement process was delayed to a certain extent, but we are catching up now in terms of getting the necessary support so that we intend having both these business cases finalized and approved by end of this quarter so that we could then proceed with the process in terms of getting capital approval for public consultation. The WRC report, again, this is was achieved. If you look at the actual performance, the report was developed and submitted for approval for submission to ICASA. This is basically the outcomes report stemming from the WRC19, which will then inform the revision of the NRFP. But again, it was the first submitted manually, hard copies, and then we had to withdraw, and then we had to resubmit digitally. So by the time we completed the actual reporting process, it was not the digital submission could not be provided as proof. But on a, it's almost again on a technicality, but the outcomes report has been developed. In terms of the broadband, we're supposed to have monitored the broadband services to the 850 connected sites. But unfortunately, we only managed to connect 724 sites. So we monitored the provision of services to the 724 sites. Of the outstanding sites, which is 179, infrastructure was completed by end of Q4, but services were not activated. The reason for that shortfall is also there were areas of power supply issues. There were technical challenges on network configuration, as well as access restrictions on, due to COVID-19 lockdown in terms of schools shut down already. But we intend that all planned sites, that means your whole 970, would be done by Q2, and then we'll be monitoring provision of these services to all connect your full 970 sites from Q3 onwards. In terms of the Digital Transformation Center, we should have done finalized and signed the DTC agreement with relevant stakeholders. It was signed and development signed from the department side, but what we then started focusing on is the CAB memo, because what we initially didn't plan for, we didn't factor in cabinet approval, was not initially factoring that before we even signed the host country agreement. So now that we brought that factor in, we now finalizing the CAB memo. So post cabinet approval of the entire DTC concept, we will then sign the agreements with relevant stakeholders. In terms of the 5G policy, we should have done analysis of the preliminary findings by Q1. What we did is we did a high-level analysis of the ICASA 5G report, as well as Brief Minister, and then submitted to ICASA the analysis of the report. But the detailed analysis makes it as for Q2. Actually, what we did, what we've done now is we've committed to actually have this in the final policy directions issued in Q3, in early Q3. So we'll definitely then have to catch up with this. We're actually catching up with this so that we've expedited the target to bring it forward. I think with eGov strategy, we've achieved the digital future skills. We're all on track. So I think just in conclusion, what we presented is quarter one as per the table. But what we've done is, as similar to other government departments, revise and retable their strategic plans, taking into consideration the budget cuts as well as the impact of COVID-19. So in terms of budget cuts, the department took 111 million across our goods and services, which make multiple programs and largely in relation to the broadcast and digital migration program. So based on that, as well as the fact that when we developed the initial 2021 APBN table, we obviously were not aware of the impact that it would have, impact of COVID-19, how it will have on the mode of delivery and operations and so forth. So we've taken all that into consideration. We made some revisions to the annual performance plan. During the revisions, we also looked at how we can department's contribution to the economic recovery plan, as well as the ECFR report recommendations. But I think what we can say is majority of the annual targets have not been impacted. So where there are Q1 delays, we managed to reconfigure the quarterly targets without impacting on the annual target. So we will achieve and catch up, because Q1 was definitely not a normal quarter in any way. So we will catch up. And where there were impacts that could not affect, I mean, we could not save the quarterly targets, we did then make revisions to annual targets. We did make such revisions accordingly. We will then table the revised APP before the end of August. We're actually hoping to still retable it by end of this week, if possible. And then we will present it subsequently to the portfolio committee, highlighting the key changes, which, as I mentioned, is mainly on the quarterly target, not on the annual target. Let me, so you, through you, Chair, if I could pause and hand over to the CFO to take us through the financials. Thank you.
CFO.
Thank you very much, Chair. And good morning to honourable members and all protocol observed. Chair, I'll be taking you through the financial information. Chair, just briefly on the appropriation budget, on the slide, we indicating the initial budget that was allocated to the department, the 3.4 billion, and also the special adjustment cuts that were made of 111 million, and after that, the adjusted appropriation of 3.3 billion. Chair. So mainly the budget cuts happened on the mainly the goods and services, the 33 million, and also the BDM project, which is 78 million. Next slide. Okay, Chair. Therefore, the expenditure at the end of quarter one amounts to 20.8%, Chair, against the adjusted appropriation. And mainly the cost that went through, it's mainly on the salaries, the monthly commitments, and also transfers to the entities. And because most of the spending was affected by the lockdown, so not much payments went through. And also what also went through under capital assets, it's the commitments coming from the previous financial year that could not be delivered by the end of the financial year. Next slide. And Chair, we also indicating that the transfers made to the entities as per the pre-approved schedule with National Treasury. We also highlighting the international membership fees that were processed during the first quarter that exceeded the budget. We budgeted 32 million for the membership fees, and at the end, because they are based on the foreign currency, due to the unfavorable exchange rate, the amount, the cost amounted to 37 million. So there is a 4.6 million variance there. And there was a process of unforeseen and unexpected expenditure application that was made through National Treasury, where we are requesting additional funds just to cover for the shortfall. And there's still about three membership cost that still needs to go through on this amount. So, Chair, 24% of the transfers have been made. And, Chair, progress on the audit action plan. We would like to, okay, initially, Chair, we have submitted the integrated FARAD. I thought there was apologies, Chair. Initially, we submitted the slide on the audit action plan, where both findings from both departments were combined, and it was later on therefore decided that maybe we need to also show a picture of different departments in terms of the progress. So Chair, I will request that Farad just put the picture of both departments.
I'm struggling to in that.
Yes, Chair, sorry, I'm just finding the one that splits both the departments for the Chair. I think I found it. Let me just project it.
still the old one for us. Thank you, Chair. We'll start with the Department of Communications. And Chair, 94% of the findings have been addressed. And the ones that are being highlighted on the irregular expenditure that was found to be understated has been resolved. It was corrected. And also in the audit report, there was a finding on the performance indicators that was not well defined, and also targets that were not specific and measurable. Those have since been corrected and resolved. And also, Chair, other findings on the financial statements and also the performance information that were reported in the management letter have also been resolved. And on the BBBE verification finding, the workshops have been attended by both departments, and also regular consultations are made with the DTI to ensure compliance. And also the supplier, we are in the process of appointing the supplier to conduct the verification for the financials that were submitted to Treasury and also to the Auditor General now end of July. And Chair, the common findings to both departments related to the matters of the BBBE verification, the commitments and accruals, and also the related parties. And next slide. Right. Chair, on the DTPS side, 81% of those findings have been resolved, and only 19% are still in progress, mainly because these are the findings that were raised previously regarding the organizational structure, a filling of key vacant posts, and also policies. So because now we entering into a new department, the development of new policies and also filling of some of these vacancies and the finalization of the structure, those findings will be addressed then. So I've highlighted the issue of the BBBE verification, Chair, and the matters relating to the annual financial statements, Chair, have been resolved. So the two slides that I have just presented, Chair, when you look at the combined slide, we look at the findings based on the root cause of the findings. So it doesn't mean that when you the combined presentation, it was amounting to 81%. So you find that if there's five findings which have the same root cause, we'll only include a root cause to say that we need to resolve that root cause, which will resolve about five findings. So, Chair, that's how the presentation is made. And, Chair, once the root cause is addressed, all the findings related, therefore, they would have been resolved. Thank you very much, Chair. That's the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, CFO. Acting DG, before I allow engagements, if there's any matter I want to emphasize.
Chairperson, members, there's no matter to emphasize at this point because the presentation is presented by Farad, and Joy is what is the status currently. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable members, that's the presentation. I would allow members, if they would want to engage with the presentation, to indicate that they would want to speak on the matters presented. Honorable Mackenzie, I see you. You are noted. Any other member? Let's take Honorable Mackenzie for now. Maybe other members would indicate. Honorable Mackenzie.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll use the full 1.5 hours.
No, not really. You must have said it.
Honorable Majosi.
Yes, Honorable Majosi, I noted.
Well, that's a pity, Chair. I had my whole speech written, but I won't now. Chair, just in terms of the departments presenting their targets and their achievement or non-achievement, we've had this discussion before, not necessarily in this committee, but in other committees. If we're driving from Johannesburg to Cape Town, and we don't get to Cape Town, we only get to Beaufort West, then we didn't get to Cape Town. So we can't say, yeah, but the target was to get to Cape Town, but we nearly got there. We got to Beaufort West. No. You either achieve or you don't achieve. And in these cases, these are not achieved. You have an opportunity to explain in the comments section why you didn't achieve the target or why you only partially achieved the target. But when you start putting in partial achievements, then it kind of skews the picture. You need to see an absolute overview of the department achieved and not achieved. So I think going forward, if we could just bear that in mind. And then just a general sort of overview question. The draft digital economy master plan, how does that fit into the ICT, the 2016 ICT white paper? What are you referencing there? I would just be interested to know, given that what sort of precepts are guiding that work. And then in terms of the State Information Technology Agency, we saw a particular tender stands to mind for digital devices, iPads, that were delivered to schools, I believe, or institutions in the Eastern Cape at huge prices, hugely inflated prices, through IO Technology Solutions, AO, run by Dr. Survey. I think the question is, you referred to the tender and procurement portals at CETA. Why isn't all government procurement being driven through CETA at this moment in time under emergency regulations? Why are contracts being allocated to external companies outside of government when we have a very capable procurement office right here in government that's able to leverage economies of scale and make sure that we get the devices we need at the lowest possible cost to the fiscus and the taxpayer? So if I could just have a comment on that and an idea of where we're going forward in that area, and what can be done to fix these incorrectly allocated or incorrectly awarded tenders that are horribly overplated for digital equipment that we could procure as government at good prices, leveraging the economies of scale that CETA can. And then lastly, in terms of your organizational structure, you know, Chairperson, we're coming up, we're almost halfway through this term again. Time moves incredibly quickly. And the organizational structure for the department hasn't been completed. When is this going to be done? By when will this be ready so we can actually move forward, hopefully before this term ends? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mackenzie. Honorable Majosi.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to all honourable members and the Department of Communications. Mine would mainly focus on the financial part of it, Chair. But before I get that, maybe because of we understand that most of the targets that were not achieved, it was because mainly they were on consultation with people and it was during COVID, and it is still during COVID. But maybe if they can explain, Chairperson, in these targets that they have not achieved, how many will they be able to achieve on the fourth term, and how many that they won't be able to achieve at all, so that we get a clear view of where we are going. But On the transfers, Chairperson, on the financial part of it, I just wanted to know specifically, I will speak on SABC because I know that it is the most that was affected within the COVID because it communicates everything that we have to know about COVID, and even the president, when he speaks there. So I wanted to know if in the adjustments, did they even consider that maybe SABC would need more budget going forward since they are taking care of all the communications? If I could get clarity on that, and if I could get clarity, if they did so, if they maybe they did increase their budget in terms of the communications on COVID. And then on the last part, Chairperson, on the audit findings, I want to understand when there's a note there that says the audit findings from both former Antoni, but they, it says there's a progress. There's where that says there's a root cause, but it's in progress. So I just want to understand, is it in progress in the Department of Communication, or are they telling us that what is the root cause? Because the last presenter was speaking about the root cause, but up until they then solve the root cause, what is the root cause of that? So on the audit findings, I just wanted to know that. Thank you, Chief.
Maybe before we allow the department to respond, may I just check if I've left other members who would want to speak at this point?
Honorable Kubega.
Honorable Kubega.
Okay.
Am I giving you any other member? Honorable Kubega, you can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. We've heard the presentation on the side of DCDT. Mine is only one, Chair, that I want to understand. Is the issue is almost just like Honorable Majuzi to say, these targets that shows that the challenge is because of the issue of public participation. Is there any other way around, maybe, or it needs to wait until the issue of COVID comes down in order that they can achieve those targets? That's what I just want to understand. Or to say, is it possible to others maybe targets that they can achieve in this fourth term, or is this serious challenge? It needs to wait until the issue of COVID comes to stand still, because we can see that at least there is that improvement. As you can see that they were at they've managed to be at 45% those targets that they try to achieve. So these ones of partially, is it possible, or even to those ones of 42% of not being achieved, maybe to grab others in order that they can be achieved? That's what I want to understand. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kubeka. I think in the absence of further hands, as we give back to the department to respond, just for purposes of helping the summary going forward, if you can also clarify in relation to the audit part, just to check sustainability of resolving problems, whether the champions or the teams that have been working on resolving this, to what extent are they affected by this reconfiguration, so that we know whether we'll still have the same people, and in that score it would mean that reoccurrence of the problems would not occur because the team would have understood what needs to be done and how to prevent reoccurrence for the future. I think that's one. The second one relates to the SABC part. I think you should take it back this point that the SABC has made a point in its interactions with the committee that on a monthly basis they've been briefing the department. And your report says you've not been in a position to analyze the reports in this quarter, then it will be done in the second quarter. I think there's a problem with that. And therefore it brings the point that whilst information has been shared with members now from SABC on its response to what the portfolio committee would have raised, the part of the department also responding in writing to the matters we've raised with the department that they need to do to help the SABC. Probably when can we get that? Because then that will help us to schedule the SABC to come before the committee well on time. But you also don't want to get to that meeting having no responses from the department in that regard. So I'm raising it because you have an entity oversight unit, which we believe surely when they receive these reports and the monthly reports that the SAPC has been referring to, you do analyze them so that you know what to do in terms of responding, especially on those matters that require the department to act in order to help the SABC to be financially viable. So if you can, as you respond to questions raised by members, that those are also included. Thank you. Over to you, department.
Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members. Chair, I'm going to respond to the questions because some of the questions, because some are interlinked. For example, Chair, let me first perhaps start with the questions around the issues around the SABC. The question that has been asked by Honourable Ma Josie on the transfers and so far as the budget and whether we have considered increasing the budget for the SABC moving forward. I just want to clarify one thing, Chair. The work that the SABC is doing for purposes of COVID is public service announcement. It is a work that is regulated, that they are supposed to ensure that a public is informed of what is happening during this COVID period. Secondly, SABC, as you would have noted, is not alone in the media space that is affected by COVID. That being said, we have received an application from SABC for purposes of a bailout, an application that we are currently analysing with the National Treasury. So that is an issue that they have lost revenue, not alone with other broadcasters as well during this period of COVID, because you would have noticed there was no advertising, very minimal advertising, as you know, no advertising because they rely on advertising for alcohol and the likes. So a lot of people were affected during the peak of what we know now as level 5 and level 4. Just also linked to that, the issue of the monthly reports vis-a-vis the quarterly reports, I need to explain that these are two separate reports, Chair. The monthly meetings that we meet with the SABC, we give them feedback because the monthly meeting is related to the 3.2 billion that has been given as a bailout to the SABC, and that it happens, and there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, and then they will respond back, and then we will respond back to them. It is a three-way meeting. It's ourselves, SAPC, and the National Treasury. So that one is on track. You will notice, the Chair, on the issue of the quarterly targets, insofar as editor oversight, it's not only Jules, it's not only SABC that hasn't been recognized for purposes of the target being met. All the other entities as well have been affected in this regard. And the challenge is a timing issue as to when the department, the branch has finalized their report and when then it gets approved by the office of the Director General. So it was a question of timing, and then therefore it was not recognized. Hence the reference to some instances on partially achieved and the likes. So the other question linked is to how many targets will be achieved during this quarter that we're in, quarter two. I think Fahad has actually indicated that we are in the process of amending our APP. We are not alone. All government departments have been given that leeway because of the challenges that we faced during COVID. Just to make the example, you would know we promised this August House that a bill was going to come through, which is the SABC bill and all those bills. Those bills were approved as early as February, but they were not prioritized in terms of the cluster briefings and the cabinet discussions because everything was about COVID. So they were not discussed in that respect. So now we have, that's why there is the issue of non-achievement of all of those targets that have been mentioned thus far. And then there was a question around the issue of the organizational structure. If you were to talk to the DPSA right now, DCDT is one of the leading departments insofar as finalizing the NMOC process. The organizational structure, there are steps that need to be taken. So what the presentation talks to is the step that was not completed during during quarter one. So in this respect, we have up until March 2021 to finalize the organizational structure. But we've also given ourselves our own time frames as the department that we have to meet in terms of consultations, in terms of all those issues. So to in a nutshell, we still have a couple of months to actually do this work. And so we are doing it, but where there were these challenges that have been mentioned. There's also the issue around the tender portal of CETA. I do not want to pretend to be an expert on what has been reported in the newspapers. Can I, through you, Chairperson, undertake that I will follow up with CETA what happened? Because we saw the article. We've also been having our own engagements with CETA as to the challenges that are faced by various government departments in migration, in MS teams, whatever the case may be. So I will follow up on this. I do not want to speak off the cuff or on something that maybe there's a much more intelligent response to it by CETA. And then there is the question of the draft digital master plan. Currently, through the department, DTIC, various other departments, there are master plans that are required to be developed in order to make sure that the economy is stimulated. We had a deadline of, we set ourselves a deadline of end of July to finalize this work. However, due to people, meetings not being correct, I mean, meetings of online meetings not correcting and not getting in proper consultative processes, especially at the level now we know as 4 and 5, a lot of things had to be moved to this quarter to ensure that there is extensive consultation with labor, with service providers, with consumer groups, with communities. But because we are using online platforms, these have delayed the program. However, I think Mr. Khatebe maybe can speak more. We are delayed by a couple of weeks because of the delays that I have mentioned thus far. Chair, I know that then there is an issue that of the clarity that you sought on the sustainability of the audit issues. How are we going to ensure that there's sustainability in resolving the challenges that we have at audit, and also ensuring that it does not reoccur in the future? The only thing that guides us so far as the audit plan and how we are correcting is that we're actually putting in place the gatekeepers that make sure that we those are not repeated. However, because we put those controls in place, but Chair, to be honest with you, there are those things, and you would have seen in recent months, issues around supply chain management, they keep reoccurring in organizations, but the controls are still put in place. As reported by the CFO, we are currently tracking this, and we are currently making sure that policies are updated. For example, you would appreciate that we still have old policies from DTPS or DOC. We're trying to align those with DCDT and put them in place. However, as we finalized them, I think the last ones we signed in March, then COVID came, we realized, no, those policies have to change and take into account the environment that we are operating in, that now it's going to be more computer-based, it's not going to be paper-based. And then even with those instances, we still have to go back to the drawing board and consult further within the department itself. I do not know, Chairperson, with my colleagues, if there's anything that I have forgotten to add in this regard in terms of responding, because that's the nutshell of how I wanted to respond. Colleagues, is there a question that I missed?
Yes, Chabu Khatebe here.
It's quiet.
Thank you very much. Just to add on to what the ADG has responded to around the Digital Economy Master Plan, and specifically in response to Honorable Mackenzie's question. The Digital Economy Master Plan addresses aspects of this of the ICT white paper. More specifically, the ICT white paper talks to issues of industry growth. And this is where the Digital Master Plan addresses those issues. And now, in terms of the ICT white paper, some of the things it highlighted that we need to address was, for example, promoting SMME and community development, skills in the sector, research and development, the coordination of state institutions and the private sector to delivering on industry growth. So the master plan does touch on all these issues. So in more specifically, it addresses matters as raised in the ICT white paper, I think it's chapter 11 or 12, around industry growth. Thank you.
Chair, before another colleague adds, I want to remind colleagues, please switch on your camera. I do not want to be found wanting by the committee. Is there any other person? Maybe has a question that I forgot. I don't see a hand, Chair. Over to you, Honorable Chair, and your committee. Thank you.
All right. I think the part about your responses to the SAPC, given that the SAPC has responded, so we still have the department having not responded, to which then affects our scheduling of the meeting where the SAPC needs to come before the committee. And I know that the committee would have loved to have that meeting sooner, even if it includes amending our program to accommodate that.
Thank Thank you, Chair. Chair, I had received the letter from the committee and currently we are looking into it. Let's say, depending on our own internal processes, we'll respond no later than next week, Friday. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable members, those are responses. May I just check if honourable members would still want to come back to get more clarity on their questions. Is that Honourable Machozi?
Yes, Chairperson.
Yeah, noted. Honourable McKenzie, you are noted. May I just check if there are other members who still want to ask questions?
Honourable Kubega.
Honourable Kubega, you are noted. Any other member? I think after those ones would move towards closure. In that order, Honourable Machozi, followed by Honourable McKenzie, and then we have Honourable Kubeka.
No, thank you, Chair. I just wanted to check maybe if it was an error from the acting DG that were on second quarter, maybe as Parliament is us who are on third quarter, maybe they are still on second as the department when she was responding to the targets that were not met. Nonetheless, Chairperson, with the issue of the SAPC, I mean, yeah, can we just play a fair game? We know that SAPC is a public broadcaster and it must play its role, but when it comes to COVID-19, they did not invite it, they did not ask for it, as much as any other South African or any department did not ask for it. When there is space that is taken, which programs are supposed to be playing, when ministers are responding to the lockdown regulations and everything that is happening every day, that space has been taken not only on adverts, but that space has been taken and there were programs that were supposed to be in place. So that is why I was asking specifically if they had considered that SAPC has been affected by this. And we're not only talking about 10 minutes or 15 minutes. We're talking about hours that is taken from SAPC every time when ministers have to respond. These days, this minister, the next following days, that minister. And it seems as if that is not being considered. And I don't think that we're playing a fair game. And especially responding in that attitude, then it sort of it gives me another thing, that which means the department is not in good relations with the SAPC. So that is why I'm asking this, because they came here, they presented, we asked if there was anything that they were receiving from the department with regards to the COVID-19 broadcasting, and they said it is 0%. That is why specifically I was asking that. And they did not ask for it, as much as any department did not ask for it. But what are the things that are they considering for the SAPC to be able to manage and sustain themselves as well as they are affected and everyone is affected by COVID-19. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Machozi. Honourable McKenzie.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just with regard to the ADG's response on CETA and the issues around that tender in the Eastern Cape, can she give us an idea of when we'll have a report on that, or is she going to submit it to us in writing? And then if I can just do the unusual thing of paying a compliment to the acting DG, it looks like you've been in that role for years. You were very confident and your answers were perfect. They were crisp and they certainly addressed all the issues raised. So to you and your team, thank you very much and well done. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable McKenzie. Honourable Kubeka.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, mine is this one of SABC. As the acting DG have tried to respond, I'm happy because now we were saying it's not to say on the side of the SABC we are fighting with SABC, or because it's part of the entity that we want to support with, just like these other entities. So can the department also play its role where it's supposed to take accountability,
So I'm happy because, as we are raising to say, we were saying indeed we want to have a follow-up meeting with SABC. And also, it's not only SABC which was supposed to respond to those questions that we were having. Also, the department must play its own role. So I'm happy, as they are saying, the acting DG is saying, they are busy trying to respond to those questions, in order that when we have a meeting with the SABC, we want also to hear the side of the department, where they are supposed to lead and account within those things that we were having an interest in, order to resolve all the issues that are affecting SABC. So, Chair, I was going to say, we are still having an interest, Chair, if it is possible, before the end of this term, if we can have that follow-up meeting with the SABC. Thanks.
Can the department respond to what members would have raised? But I think as you respond, please also clarify the point you are making. The understanding, unless other members would have understood it differently, the understanding is that there were two applications. There was an issue that related to the 140 million, which was said to be GCIS, DCTT, SABC. Then there was a point raised by the SABC on the losses that were projected as a result of COVID. And the committee view was that it will be difficult to motivate for a bailout, but I hear the word bailout. So if you can use this chance to also come back, clarify that matter. But what the committee advanced was that almost all sectors are applying for the COVID relief fund. Is there a consideration in that regard, so that the matters raised by the SABC in terms of losses that they would have made and will continue to make as they project these public mandates, which probably are underfunded, that application would be through the assistance of the Department and Treasurer will be considered and get feedback, but not necessarily a bailout, because the 3.2 billion was already a bailout. We said we don't want you to come back as SAPC and ask for another bailout. So as you respond, please clarify that, because it will be in the record of the committee. Chair, that
had a bailout.
Yes. Honorable
Chair, I think you can. Sorry, Chair, to disturb you. Minister, I've been covered mostly by my colleagues. I just have one question. Now, I do not remember the department ever having a permanent DG. Has this been advertised? Because there's different actors. It's like a TV show. When has it been advertised? When will it be advertised? If it has not been advertised, why hasn't it been advertised? Thanks, Jay.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Fandam. Acting DG and the team.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. Chair, I will start off by responding to the general questions. I think you've covered it as well, just to remind the committee. The general question insofar as the SABC. Honorable Majosi, actually, when I prefaced the comment by saying we have received an application from SABC due to unforeseen circumstances around COVID. And then I continue to say SABC is not alone, because there's other people in the media space that are affected as well by COVID. As a result, when we came to do a presentation on the COVID response, we were even reported that those other broadcasters actually did also say, look, we are seeking a relief fund and we are yet to compute it at the time. They have also put their proposals forward for the relief fund, but SABC has put in an application through for unforeseen expenditure, and in this respect, that amount that they put is an amount of 1.5 billion rands. Excuse me. Then the question that the chair raises around the 140 million vis-a-vis TCIS and the likes. Chair, as the Department of DCDT, we only received the application for the 1.5 billion rents from the SAPC for purposes of COVID. The one on advertising, I know that PEPS is best placed to be addressed with GCIS, because for us formally there's been the 1.5 billion. And then the couple of questions around the permanent DG. Yes, Honorable Member Van Dam, the permanent DG position has been advertised, I think last week, Sunday, if I'm not making a mistake, but the deadline is on the 21st of August for people to submit their applications. So hopefully in the near future, you will see people that are not acting and you will have a person that is permanent. So then the other question is thank you, Honorable Mackenzie, for the compliment that you paid. I must say, precious, taking it graciously. We will write to CETA and seek a response, and I undertake that we will respond to this OM committee by no later than next week, Friday, because CETA, I'm sure they have to do their own investigation. And if we fail to respond, we will advise the committee that CETA needs more time and we are not getting any joy in that respect. And I'm not sure, colleagues, DCDT colleagues, if there's been any question that I have missed, perhaps. Thank you, Chair. I don't see a hand. Chair, through you, you'll advise if there's perhaps something that we have missed from our side. Thank you.
Just check, Honorable Machozi, from the response you received, that it clarifies the point in relation to assisting or not assisting the SABC during.
No, it's okay, Chair.
Okay.
It's fine.
No, that's fine. Honorable members, I think we have tried to engage with the presentation. I'm sure you'd agree that we need to move to some closure now. And the points to really make is that we'll still need the reports that have been committed to by the department, which was also done by the minister, that we receive those. And I'm sure that we have a similar understanding as all of us as members, that with regard to the SAPO matter, we had already scheduled the SAPO to deal with all other matters in SAPO. Yes, there are new developments. So it would mean that even if we have not received the report in terms of the matters that the minister is dealing with together with the social development, treasure and so on, we'll still proceed along those lines and still get the minister to come back and brief the committee on how the matters would have been dealt with there. Secondly, the reports in terms of the SABC. I understand, Honorable Kubeka, that you would have loved that at least by the end of the term would have dealt with this matter. I think we still want to impress on the department that as they have given us the Friday next week as the cut-off date, that we receive the report. And I'm sure members would agree that once we have received that report, as we have received the responses of SAPC, we will then have to look at the program, amend and bring it earlier, so that we are able to deal with the matters at hand. But more importantly, is to shift the understanding that the committee is merely about the SAPC or retrenchments. But indeed, ours is to ensure that the turnaround strategy that was presented to us with all its aspects, it's being implemented in SAPC. But we also have a responsibility to do oversight on the other entities, because if our focus is on one, others will collapse in the process. And surely, as the committee, we should be interested in the stability of governance in the different entities. I think as we see things now, it will tell you that we need to have a focus on other entities too, so that we bring a sense of governance stability in that regard. Of course, we would look at the issue of the regulator, ICASA, with keen interest that the matter is finalized, because the committee, when it submitted again in Parliament, it made it clear that given the number of councillors left in ICASA, we may have a collapse in the decision-making process, and the sooner that this is addressed, the better, so that we create confidence to the sector that the regulator is stable and it's able to continue with its work. But more importantly, the work that needs to happen with regard to spectrum auctioning and so on needs an ICASA that's stable from that point. Otherwise, the other reports that the department has promised that would come in writing would expect those even before Friday. Otherwise, honourable members, I think we've done very well even with regard to time, and in that score, I would really not hold you for long. But just to maybe before we close we have this point about training, which members got in and out because of different engagements. I must appreciate Mr. Malika, the arrangements that would have been made. But I just also thought that because there were questions asked by members, whether it's certification or whatever, and we didn't have a proper session with members on that. And we would have asked Mr. Malika to also interact with vets, as the content advisor. I'm not sure if there's any update that you would want to give to members so that they are able to arrange their diaries well. I must say, as a person who participated until Honorable McCain left before me, I gained a lot by attending the session, especially being new in this sector. But as I said, if Mr. Malika would want to emphasize any point to the members so that they are able to make proper arrangements of participation, you can do that with my permission.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. Good morning. Chairperson, mine will not be much, but just to also give some clarity around the issue you have raised, that is of the certification of the course. The critical issue, Chairperson, is that we had to sort of negotiate a way with the vets because the TPRM course naturally is a full-time course. And as you would have noticed, this current year has been attended by over five countries of the region, of the SADC region for that matter. So the arrangement that we had with the Link Center was that members do have an option to get a certification of the course that is subject to the members participating in all the group work assignments as well as the individual work assignments and, of course, engaging the literature. So we would really appeal to members that want to continue in this course to then indicate so to the support staff so that we do make the necessary arrangements with the Vets Link Center. What Lucy, the director, also said was that when the course is continued next year, in fact, the certification will only be approved next year on the basis that for this year, as you are attending part-time, you know, you do the group assignments, like I mentioned before, so that then next year you are much more prepared and the credits will be rather carried over for that purpose, so that the lessons that you missed during these modules, you can then do for the next year. So in that score, Chairperson, I think that it's officially noted that VETS is agreeing that members can get certification if they wish to continue the course. The other issue, Chairperson, was to say that during the negotiations, the director had agreed that members for this particular module that we're embarking on can only attend the two sessions, which is the session that has just passed on Monday and the Friday session. So if any of the members having problems logging in, I'll encourage them to engage me directly on the cell phone number in the WhatsApp group so that we're able to resolve the issue. The link will remain the same for the Friday's meeting as well. So there's no need to really panic about it. But I think Lucy's been sharing information. She has also recently shared all the presentations of the day, of the first day of the engagement. So I think, Chair, I'll end right there, and I'll really appeal that members do attend because, like you say, very exciting engagements. Oh, the last issue, my apologies, Chair, is the issue around the procurement of the course. I know that there's been numerous discussions going on the group, and I'd like to assure members that we did have a lengthy discussion with the vets about this, and they understand that the procurement issues of Parliament may seem to be quite elongated than the, you know, otherwise in private institutions, and for that reason have accommodated us for this week, granted that we're able to resolve our issues. I think Mr. Force is doing quite a great job, and we should be concluding the procurement issue so that we're officially part of the course. And that means that Parliament will be spending money to ensure that members are capacitated. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Madiga. I take it that honourable members will have clarity on a number of questions we would have had in the course of this week. With regard to the training. If that's cleared, as I said, I would want us to get to the closure of the meeting officially and that the meeting stays adjourned until we meet in the House for those who are attending. Thank you, Honourable Members. The meeting stays adjourned.
Bye.
Thank you, Chair. Bye. Thank you, Chair. Bye.
Thank you, Chairperson.